It is so awesome to be back. Good morning to our online family. We were gone for a couple of weeks, as Chrissy mentioned. Can't wait to give you the report. All I can say is that it was amazing. Our time in Tanzania was so powerful. And the Lord just kind of lifted my vision, lifted my sense of awareness of eternity, of the huge role that we are called to play. How many believe we have a role to play on this earth to bring the love of Jesus all over the planet? How many would say amen? Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you, whether it be to go to Tanzania or go to Kids Week of Adventure, get involved. Be part of what God is doing. Don't miss it, because God is moving all over the earth. Amen? Okay, so now as we get ready to open the Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of James. Maybe you'll do that on your device, or if you actually brought a Bible. A couple of weeks ago, I preached from James chapter 1, and I thought that it was going to be a one-off and that I was going to be speaking from other places. But while I was traveling, whether it was on the plane or even in Tanzania reading the Bible, the more I read the book of James, I was like, man, this is such a good book. It gives so much kind of advice on how to handle yourself, how to care for yourself, how to live. We're living in a day where self-care is such a big deal. And you know what? Self-care is important, but biblical self-care is the highest and best. The Bible tells us how to handle our lives. And if you handle your life well, then actually, by the way you handle your life, you're actually caring for yourself. Look, before we go into James, listen to what Ephesians says as an intro to this series. The Bible says, be very, everyone, careful then how you live. You got to be careful how you live. It says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So James is like the New Testament book of Proverbs, or the New Testament book of wisdom. And so we're starting a series titled Handle with Care. And it's because your life should be handled with care. We should be very, very deliberate about how we are living our lives. Somebody say amen to that. And this is very, very important advice. And so as you read through James, just know the Lord is speaking to you. And maybe there are things that were missing in your upbringing. Maybe there are things that are missing right now. Well, God wants to use the book of James to fill in so much. And listen, when you live carefully, when you live well, you'll actually be well. So this is a fantastic book. And last time I spoke here and we talked from James, the essence of the message was all about how to handle trials. And you got to learn how to handle trials, because no matter who you are, trials will come. How many have learned that lesson the hard way? Trials are going to come. It's just part of life. This week, we're being taught how to handle something else that is so, so important. And, sometimes when you are presenting truth, you have a challenge. Because even though it's really, really good advice, we're living in a day that it's so easy to miss really good advice. And so it's like, how do you really see this? Well, let me start with a quick example. Do you know they did a study, and the reason that the primary reason for most airplane accidents is because of what happened in the cockpit. Because of the interactions in the cockpit, it really came down to what was going on between the team of flyers in the cockpit that determined, for the most part, why there were accidents. There was a famous book that came out, Outliers. It talked about how there was an accident, an airplane accident in Korea, and their culture is so high honor oriented that the co-pilot didn't have it inside of him to say to the pilot, hey, you're doing this wrong. And the plane went down because they didn't interact well. Interactions are a very big deal. And by the way, we're interacting all day long, every day, all day. Life, the quality of your life is determined by your interactions. Interestingly enough, today, and we've got some guests. We have a couple here, James and Carmen Jordan. And these people are very special to me, more special than they realize, because when I was a baby Christian, when I first started going to church, I didn't necessarily talk to them a lot, but I watched how they interacted with each other, with people, and they set an example to me of what it was to be a godly man or a godly woman. They're here. I want them to stand. Come on, could we greet James and Carmen? Come on, let's put our hands together. And so look, seeing them reminds me, and I want to remind you, people are watching how you engage with them. People are taking in the dynamics of your and my interactions. And so this week, the title of the message is Handling Your Interactions. How do you handle the different interactions? You had hundreds of interactions in the last 7 days, right? What did people take away from that interaction? This is a big deal. This is, in a sense, this is marital advice, right? How many know there's lots of interaction in marriage? Right? So this is marital advice, this is friendship advice, this is business advice. This is like advice for how to, be a good neighbor, and on and on and on it goes. After the service, you're going to have different interactions with people. This is every day, all day long, and the Bible actually gives us advice. This is crisis management. So many different things. And so James chapter 1, beginning with verse 19 actually gives us incredible advice on how to have healthy, profitable, fruitful interactions with people. And boy, does Chicago need this. Amen. All right, so here we go. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Come on, Chicago. Come on, Lord, right here. We should start a prayer meeting for Chicago right now. How many would say amen? I bet just driving here, some of you had some unique interactions, right? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, and listen, this is very, very interesting how God connects the first thing with this last thing. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So, what is the advice that the Bible gives us about having profitable, productive, healthy, holy interactions? You ready? It says you have to learn how to listen. Okay, you got to learn how to listen. If you want to have a lot of friends, you have to learn how to listen. If you want a happy home, if you want a healthy relationship with someone, if you want to be a shrewd businessman, you have to learn how to listen. All of the shrewd businessmen that I know, I've noticed something about them. They listen. And you know what they listen for? They're listening for data. They're taking in information. They're data, so that they could, make an assessment. It's through listening that they actually become so successful. Some people who are sensitive to someone's emotions, they listen. Someone who is compassionate, if you have the gift of compassion, let me tell you what you do, whether you realize it or not, you listen to people's emotions. Right? So some people don't listen to people's emotions. They're not even aware of someone else's emotions. All of this has to do with the way, the dynamics of our interactions. But the key thing is, the Bible is giving us advice here, is that we have to master the art of listening. And can I say this? When it comes to listening, listening really starts by listening to God. And if you won't listen to God, you won't listen to anybody. It all begins by listening to God. And so I want to pray before I unpack this message that God would cause us, whether you're watching online or you're in this room, whether this is your first time here or you've been here for a long time, this particular principle, it never ceases to be incredibly valuable and impactful to your life. This is every day, all the time. The dynamic, the heart to listen to people is what enables us to really serve people. If we want to make an impact for eternity's sake, we have to learn how to listen. So come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless our time. And God, I ask, Lord, literally, your word says, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says. God, give us ears to hear today. But God, more than having just ears to hear today, God, Lord, help us to become, Lord, amazing listeners. Lord, when people leave our presence, let them leave feeling like they were heard. So God, help us to understand that this is not a relationship technique, Lord. This is your heart. This is your way. This is what you want from us, oh God. So bless our time. Lord, breathe on us. God, let this message go into our hearts and let it impact marriages. Let it impact our parenting. Let it impact our relationships at work or in school. God, all of our interactions, Lord, may they be marked by this Spirit-filled listening that you want to teach us today in the book of James. We trust you to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here's what this text is doing. First of all, it's describing what real listening is. And then there's this implication of how we are blessed when we listen. Okay, but it actually is describing what does it mean to listen? Well, real listening is an attitude and an act. It's two things at once. One part of it is an attitude. The second part of it is an action, okay? So when the Bible says be quick to listen, it's talking about having an attitude to listen. So the attitude to listen is that you are eager to hear and learn from another person's heart and perspective. When you listen, if you listen in a godly way, you actually are eager to hear what's going on inside of your spouse's heart. You understand? It's like, or inside of your friend's heart. And by the way, just a little bit of relationship advice to all of the single guys. Hey, if you want to get a girl and keep a girl, then learn how to listen. Okay, if you're one of those guys, I love me, who do you love? My favorite topic is me. You're going to find yourself alone. You know, we have to learn how to listen. All the ladies said, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. All right, that was a little too strong, I think. No. So listening is it's an attitude that says, I have the capacity to set aside all of my urgency, all of my importance, all of my busyness. I have the capacity, when we're our best, I have the capacity to say, okay, I'm gonna stop, and I'm gonna listen. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the first service one owes to others is listening to them. I mean, this is like, and look, we can take this thing for granted, but it's real. Do you know President Roosevelt, FDR, he was at this big event once, all of these diplomats from around the world, and you know they have these greeting lines. And after like 2 or 3 minutes of the greetings, he realizes, you know, I've just interacted with, I don't know, 6 people. Not one of them listened to me. So he decides, true story, so he decided to do an experiment. And he said, he thought to himself, every person that comes by, he just murmured real low. He said, I murdered my grandmother. And people were coming by and saying, great job, President. Yes, this and that. And he said, one person after another. And then finally, one of some kind of foreign diplomat, he said that to the foreign diplomat, and he said, I'm sure she had it coming. Like, they didn't even want to listen to the president. You know, it's like, it's so crazy how much we take listening for granted. Okay, so part of what we are going to ask God today is like, Lord, help me not to take listening for granted, because if you take listening for granted, it means that you take people for granted. Okay, and so you don't want people to feel taken for granted. When you make someone feel taken for granted, you've lost your ability to minister to them. You've lost your ability to connect with them, to reach them, and on and on and on it goes. So this is a really, really big deal, but it begins with an attitude that says, you are so valuable that I want to hear you. How many say, Lord, help me to hear people around me? Come on, somebody say it. Say it with me. Help me, Lord, to hear the people around me. That's a big deal. It will change the quality of your relationships. They will skyrocket if you just practice listening by being eager to hear what's going on. Now, first, it's an attitude, but it's not just an attitude. It's actually an act at the same time. And so the act is that you would be slow to speak, okay? So the act is, instead of just blurting out whatever it is, you are slow to speak. The act of listening requires a discipline of not jumping to conclusions. Let me tell you, so many problems in our relationships there's only one reason. Guess what? We jump to conclusions. Someone says one sentence, and they're about halfway through the sentence, and we already decided that we're upset, and we catch an attitude, and on and on and on, and we jump to conclusions, right? I mean, think about road rage, right? Have you ever cut someone off and had no idea that you did it? Nobody here. I mean, I'm just going to. So you're driving and someone is going off on you and you have no idea why, you know? And the wisest thing to do when they say, I'm sorry, just even though they can't hear you, just say, I'm sorry, 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 and let them yell and scream, say, God bless you. But it's like, oh, you purposely cut them off, or you purposely, or on and on. But see, there's this thing where we jump to conclusions. When you're quick to listen, you're not debating with people. Do you live in an endless debate with people? Is that the dynamic of what's inside of you? You just want, you like, some people love arguing, you know, right? Or you're making excuses, like someone comes, you think, oh, they're going to blame me. You know, some people have this dynamic, oh, get ready, they're going to blame me. Or some people like, I have to be heard, and so I have to be heard, I have to be heard. And instead of listening, you just want to be heard. So there's an act of where you say, I'm going to grab both of these lips. A good listener is slow to speak. Chrysostom, this is a great man of God in church history. He said, a man who has learned to listen will easily learn to speak wisely. Okay, we're going to get into why that's the case, right? But if you are slow to speak, then something very, very special happens, you know, and it enables you to make a connection with people. So they did a study. Some sociologists, some researchers, they questioned like many runaway girls, young girls, most of which ended up in prostitution, and they asked them, how did you get here? Like, why did you run away? What, you know, what happened? And do you know, the most common answer was this. It's what I needed most was someone to listen to me. What I needed most was to have someone who would care enough for me that they actually heard what was going on in my heart. You know, if you become a good listener, you will become a powerful minister. Chicago doesn't need more preachers. I mean, of course, more churches and so on and so forth. But you know what Chicago really needs? Chicago needs that the rank and file, that the body of Christ, right, would go out there and would listen. And as we listen, then doors would open for us to make deep connections with people, and they would receive the deep ministry that we have to offer. We have something to offer that is so rich, so deep, so powerful. We have Jesus to offer. Anybody here want to offer Jesus to people? Hallelujah. If you want to offer Jesus, you have to, everyone. Listen. You have to listen. And this is something that's easy to take for granted, but I'm telling you, it is such a big deal. And by the way, you know, when you actually listen, here's what people feel. People feel like you are focused on them. So listening means that you make a person feel like you are focused on them. I forget, years ago, I spoke to one of the brothers who had been to a counselor, and he said, you know, I was talking to this counselor about my marriage, and the counselor gave me this advice, and man, it really works. And he said, listen with your eyes. He said, what do you mean by that? He says, look at your wife when she's talking. Listen with your eyes. Make her feel like you're paying attention. And do you know, it really works. By the way, ladies, it's a two-way street. It works both ways. Come on. Let's go. We're about to have a counseling session right now. So this is a big deal, and I want to give you the last thing about being about why it's important to be slow to speak. So I brought my old school Brooklyn boombox with me. And actually, Pastor Paniagua, who spoke and gave me this illustration. So here's kind of what listening is like, right? Is it on? Did the battery die? Okay, here you go. You guys hear that? Coming through? Okay, so if you're slow to speak, you can do what is necessary to really hear the person. So you go. Man, this listening stuff is so hard.
Talk to anybody. Only to
this is Moody Radio, by the way. I was afraid any other station.
We haven't any, for example,
so Moody, I gave you a shout out right there.
Special program for evangelism.
But notice, like there's so much static noise out there. You have to take the time to tune in. Come on, be the kind of Christian that can tune in until you really hear what's going down. Come on, somebody say amen. When you're slow to speak, it enables you to tune in. And then when you tune in, then special things can happen. Now, if they could send me a keyboard player. Now, let me tell you why this is such incredible self-care. Why this is not just good for other people, but why this is so good for you. It's because, and we've all been there. We've all said, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. We've all been in a place, I wish I wouldn't have reacted like that. You know, I wish I would have responded instead of reacted. Anybody here? All right, anybody here ever had that moment? Yes. When you're slow to speak, when you're quick to listen and slow to speak, there's a blessing that it releases. And here's what it does for you so that now you could really be thinking about this as the days unfold for you. You know what listening does? Listening gives you space. Everybody say space.
Space.
We sometimes, what we need is we need space to process something. And when I say space, I'm also including the fact that when you're slow to speak, instead of blurting out what you want to say, when you're slow to speak, you are giving yourself space to do what? To hear from God. When you're slow to speak, you give God space to help you respond and react the way He would have you instead of the way that you are feeling. I believe, brothers and sisters, that most people who battle with a lot of anxiety, they're probably not good listeners. Because anxiety comes from the different dynamics and interactions of life. You know, there's so much anxiety, so much stress and anger and frustration. Next week we're going to talk about anger, but frustration and on and on and on and on it goes. And part of it is because when stuff comes at you, you respond so quickly, you don't give God space. But if you are slow to speak, then here's what happens inside of you. So something happens and look. The Bible says, and I'm jumping over to next week, be angry and sin not. Some people can frustrate you, you know. You know, somebody can get on your nerves. This is rude, you know, or whatever it is. But regardless of what is going on, how many know if you give God space, then there's this internal conversation that can take place where all of a sudden you're like, you know, I bet that guy in the car is having a bad day. Or, man, something's really bothering my wife right now. I don't think that she meant to say that the way she said it. Well, I don't think he meant to say it the way he said it. And you know what? Slow down. Space. Watch what the Bible says to us about when we give God space. Listen to this. In Isaiah 55, God said, incline your ear and come to me. Give me space. What? Hear so that your soul may live. To hear God is life. Literal life. In your interactions, if you could slow down and just say, God, okay, God, this is one of those moments. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You know, God, the Spirit might say, just turn the other cheek right now. You know, and even if the Lord said that, you're going to be like, okay, I'm good. All of a sudden, I'm not anxious. I'm not stressed. I'm like, you know what? Right now, you think you and I are having a moment, but actually, God and I are having a moment. Because I gave God space. The sovereign Lord, you wanna really be a good minister? The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. There is a word that God wants to give you to sustain the brokenhearted. You're going to meet them today. You're going to meet them tomorrow and the next day should the Lord tarry. You got to have the instructed tongue. But watch this. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. So God, if we give him space, if we give yourself space, your reactions will change. The Holy Spirit will start to change who you are and, more importantly, what you actually mean to people. Do you really want to mean something to people? You got to learn how to listen. And can I tell you, if you grew up in a home where you were not heard, you need to press into this today. You need to push past your internal stress about, I need to be heard, you know? If you're young, by the way, like this whole kind of social media generation, everybody feels like, I have to say something. I've got to publish. I got to tell people what I'm doing. I got to tell people what I'm thinking. I got to post. Okay, but not really. You know, if you don't post, it's not going to kill you. You know, look, if you don't say what you think, you know, it's not going to kill you to just say, just they didn't ask you, so be quiet. You know, so I was in a group with a group of ministers and they were talking about, I just started laughing because it was a group of leaders and we were talking about like politics and what's going on in the world. And one of the guys said, I don't understand. Why don't they just ask me? I'm like, dude, not for nothing. Last time I checked, they didn't invite you to the White House. You know what I mean? It's like, he's like frustrated about it. It's like, they don't ask you. It's all good. You could be connected to Jesus. How many know if you have Jesus, you have everything? What are like, who cares? If you give God space, you won't need credit. You don't care if you're overlooked. You're like, it's all good, man. I'm good. Me and Jesus are so, so good. And let me tell you, this elevates your capacity to connect with people. It's over the top. Here's the other thing that it does, and I'll be closing with this. Actually listening instead of talking, you know what it does? It saves you from yourself. How many understand foot and mouth disease? Okay. Some people, have you ever heard someone say, I'm my own worst enemy? You're like, you hear somebody say something, and you're like, oh my goodness. That person is putting a size 14 right in their mouth right now, you know? And it's because they can't help it, but if you'll be slow to speak, right? People will respect you just for not saying anything. They're like, oh snap, we better be careful, this guy really knows. You know, the Bible, the Proverbs say that. It's like, save yourself from stress. The Bible says, where words are many, what does it say? Where words are many, sin is not absent. Guys, you should know that. You should read your Proverbs. Where words are many, sin is not absent. So the less you talk, the less you sin. We'll be talking about this in a couple of weeks. But there's so much blessing. And notice, look, here's the crazy thing about this passage, right? It says, therefore, so it starts out with listening, but then it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This is right after the advice on listening. So it's saying, listen so that you won't be covered by moral filth and evil. If you're not listening, if you're not paying attention to God, you're going to get swept away by all kinds of crazy evil in this world unnecessarily. Meanwhile, if you would have just listened, you'd have stood your ground. You wouldn't have fell for it. You wouldn't have fell for any of it. And look at how Romans says it. This is so powerful. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Right? Just bleh. You know? I mean, when I was preparing this, it reminded me of my mom and dad. You know, like, anybody here ever see I Love Lucy, the Ricky Ricardo and Lucy? That was like my house. And like, my mom and dad were together like over 60 years, but man, they used to make me laugh. My mom was one of those people that she had to tell you what she was thinking. She didn't care where she was. If she was thinking something, she was going to tell you. So, and she was very, like, warm, and people just loved my mom. But I used to laugh with my dad because he would be saying something, she would jump right in, and she would, like, go after it. And my dad would go like this. He would go, he would go, gracias, Fidel. I came from Cuba, and this is what Castro gave me, as he would say. You know what I'm saying? And it used to make me laugh because, you know, he was like halfway into a sentence. My mom would cut him off and go after it. And it's just, I mean, we used to laugh about it, you know. But listen, that can get you in a lot of trouble, you know. And it all is because our flesh speaks instead of giving space for the Spirit to speak. So watch this. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. So sometimes your heart wants to respond wrong. The Spirit will put that to death. Then guess what happens? You live. You live. You live when you make room for the Spirit to check you and to say, stop, treat this person as important. Whatever you do, make them feel valuable. Doesn't matter how right you are, doesn't matter how wrong they are, stop. See, that conversation inside of you, now you're going to be set loose by the Holy Spirit to bring so much change, so much blessing. How many want that kind of life? And the rest of this year, we want to be used by God in all of our interactions. We have to listen. Almost done here. You know, Chuck Swindoll, the famous preacher, once told a story. He was probably preaching on the same subject. He said one day he was putting his little girl to bed. And you know, they were doing prayers and all that, but he was trying to rush her to bed because he had stuff to do. And she was trying to say something to him. And at a certain point, she said, Daddy, I'll tell you real fast. And when she said to him, "Daddy, I'll tell you real fast," he was like, "Oh." Because what was she saying? She was saying, "Daddy, you're so busy, you're so important, you have so many things to do, and sometimes it feels like there's no room for me." That happens. That can happen to any of us. It's happened to me, I can tell you that for a fact, you know. And so look, two things. This is a word to people who carry a lot of responsibility. You know, when you carry a lot of responsibility, it means that you've accomplished things and people trust you and they rely upon you. But the highest form of spirituality is when you can set your stuff aside and just listen to someone. They don't carry what you carry. They may not be as important, as educated, as this, as all of the lists, but it doesn't matter. To God, that dynamic encounter is so important. Now, on the flip side, I want to say, if you're having a rough time in your relationships, if you're battling with anxiety on the inside, if there's a lack of fruitfulness to your interactions, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit wants to help you, but you gotta give Him space. You've gotta say, "My opinion is not more important than God's opinion. So I'm gonna slow down to hear it." You know, if you slow down to hear God's opinion, He'll give it to you. Be quick to listen, everyone, and slow to speak. I'm telling you, God is going to use you this week. I want to make a new kind of space for God. I want to start right now. I want to learn how to listen better. How about you? You want to learn how to listen better?